All right, say it with me. I am in the right place at the right time with the right people, doing, saying, hearing all the right things. I am blessed, highly favored, accepted, qualified, chosen, redeemed. I am a child of the Most High. God's word, incorruptible seed, will not return void. I will produce 100-fold. If you receive that, would you give the Lord a big hand clap? Would you stand to your feet, please? Let's take a moment and pray as we enter into this series, The Winning Life. Lord, we come to you with grateful hearts, and we just believe that your word is going into good ground, producing 100-fold, and we believe those that are watching online, those that are here in person, will be impacted for the rest of eternity, that this message that has been imparted to me over all the years on behalf of Dr. Seville and his family, I believe that this message will impact others here today as much as it has impacted my life. And Lord, I thank you for your grace, your anointing that's present to destroy yokes, remove burdens, and I certainly wouldn't be surprised that healing manifests even as during the preaching of the word, that people are set free and delivered. Father, it just wouldn't surprise me one bit for every miracle, sign, and wonder that you do today, and we just want to acknowledge you and appreciate you for the great work that you've begun here at High Point Church and the great work that you are going to finish here at High Point Church, that you are working in and through each and every life here represented. Lord, we believe that we are people who love you, care about you, and want your kingdom built in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Well, give someone a high five and tell them you're in the right place at the right time, and then you can be seated. Now, y'all are a friendly church. I love y'all. Well, last week we talked about the importance of not quitting. So go ahead and turn to someone close to you with a big smile on your face and say these words, don't quit. Really, this is one of the messages, one of the principles that Dr. Jerry Seville has imparted to the rest of the world that impacted my life with this message. And today's message is going to fall along those lines. But, you know, as we listened to Terry speak this yesterday at the memorial service, you know, she reminded us that years ago, she was going through a real discouraging time in her life. It was just a lot to handle, a lot of pressure going on. And she said to her dad, she said, Dad, I feel overwhelmed. And he said real compassionately, God will never give you more than you can handle. And her response was, why does he think I can handle this much? And her, you know, his response with a loving look towards her, he said these words, Terry, the Sevilles are not quitters. The Sevilles are not quitters. And then she was staring off into space, and of course, her dad said, Terry, what are you thinking about? She said, I must be adopted then. How many of you have ever been there before and can relate? You just feel like throwing in the towel. You feel like quitting. You feel like, man, I have been pressing towards, you know, my God-given dreams, and it seems like it's taking forever, and is it ever going to happen? And can anybody relate with that? And you just feel discouraged and you want to quit, but you didn't quit. You know, the one thing I find in life, you'll never lose if you don't quit. And I want to talk a little bit about how not to quit today, a message that's been impacting my life for years now. And I really think it's important to talk about for a few moments. But here's a scripture to kind of back up where we kind of left off last weekend. In Psalm 31, verse 24, the psalmist says, be brave, be strong, and don't give up. Let's say that together. Be brave, be strong, don't give up. You know, aren't you thankful that Jesus didn't give up? When he was faced with the temptation to want to give up and the pressure was overwhelming in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's crying out to his father and he's saying, is there any other way around this? Is there any other solution? Is there anything, anything? And then he, of course, he submits himself and he says, nevertheless, your will be done. And I thank God that Jesus didn't quit. He didn't give up. He could have. He could have called on legions of angels, and they could have taken him right off that cross real easily and walked away from it and walked away from this world and turned their back on us. But the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit refused to do that. And I am so thankful that Jesus went through the cross for you and me. You know, I think about how he did this, though. And this is where I want to pick up today, how Jesus did that. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the scriptures remind us that Jesus endured the cross because he could see the joy ahead of him. This is where we really left off last weekend, is getting the big picture in mind. Knowing the end from the beginning, knowing what you're really going after in life. What is it? What is your end zone? How are you going to score the biggest points? What are you going after? What are you pressing towards? What is that God-given dream that God has placed in your heart? What is the legacy? What do you want your obituary to say one day? What one word do you want to describe you one day? What do you want to be remembered for? What is the big picture you're going after? Jesus endured the cross because he could see the joy set before him. In other words, he understood that this is not forever on the cross. The tomb is not forever. The crown of life is forever, not the crown of thorns. The tomb is temporary, but the throne is forever. You know, this is what Jesus saw, was himself free from the pains of life, but he also saw us free in the big picture. And he went after the big picture because it meant a better life for all of us. So what is it that you want to do, the impact that you want to make? What is that prize that you are aiming for? As Philippians reminds us, chapter 3, verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What is that prize that you're going after? What is it that you want to be remembered for? Careers come and go. Friends come and go, families forever, of course. But what is the priority that God has placed in your life? Because things, seasons change in life. But what do you want to be remembered for? What one word do you want to be remembered for? What do you want your obituary to say? You know, that dash is pretty important between the date you were born and the day that you go home to be with Jesus. That's a pretty important dash. The question is, what do you want that dash to represent you as? What is the big picture that you're going after? What is it that you're aiming for? Because like Zig Ziglar said, if you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every time. So what is it that you are going after? Jesus endured the cross. Why? Because he saw the big picture ahead of him. He saw the joy that was ahead of him. What was he going after? He saw us free. He saw God's people completely free. What is it that you are destined to do and you want to be remembered for? You were born to win. Your life is valuable. In fact, I'm going to pause on this for just a moment because sometimes people are like, well, I'm really not worth much. That's not true. I'm really not that valuable. I really don't add a lot of value. I'm kind of just a person in and out of here. I'm the person that works behind the scenes. Nobody really knows much about me. I'm just one of those people that are introverted. Did you know even the most introverted people influence over 10,000 people in their life? Your life is here for a purpose. And anytime the enemy tells you that you're not valuable, let me ask you a question then. So if I have Tom Brady's Super Bowl shirt on, how many know that some people are going to pay a lot of money for that Super Bowl shirt, even though you could buy it for probably about $50, you know, not the original one that he wore, but you could probably get it for $50 online or someone, you know. But how many know that some people are willing to spend $500,000 on that shirt? And you might be thinking, or even like a painting, maybe like you're not into abstract painting, but somebody's willing to pay millions for a particular painting, but you're sitting there thinking, I'm really not into abstract. Did you know the value of something is not based upon what you're willing to pay? It's based upon what someone is willing to pay. And our Heavenly Father said, no silver and no gold, nothing in this world is as valuable as you. And therefore, I am sending my son, Jesus, to die, the greatest gift, the most valuable gift that I have. It can't be, your life can't be ransomed. It can't be redeemed. It can't be by money, gold, or anything in this world. Nothing in this world was valuable enough. And so our Heavenly Father said, this is how valuable you truly are. I'm sending my son. I'm giving my son for you. And the next time the devil comes along and says, you're not very valuable, you're not very important, you need to remind him, then why did my Heavenly Father send Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me? Because even though someone might say, you're not that valuable, you're not that important, your Heavenly Father thinks you're pretty important. And if the devil is devaluing you, or other critics out there that are devaluing you, you need to remind yourself how valuable you truly, truly are. Jesus understood his value and how important his life was, and he endured the cross because he could see the big picture ahead of him, and this is what we need to go after, because in this process, this journey of life, you are going to have critics. Jesus said you are even going to be persecuted for following him. People are going to say unkind things about you for following Jesus. But to hear your Heavenly Father one day say, well done, good and faithful. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And there is a big picture of great reward for living a life, a Christ-centered life. I'm not calling myself even just a Christian who goes to church once a month or once a year for Christmas or Easter. There's a lot of people that call themselves Christians, but they are not Christ followers. Does that make sense? Being a Christ follower is not the easiest. Someone who just goes to church once in a while or whatever it is, that you know, they're just kind of going with the flow of the rest of the world. But to swim up against the current, to swim against the grains of life, you could say, to go against what the world is wanting for you, you become a standout. You become valuable in the kingdom of God and important in his eyes. And we need to remember in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, God sees you as a winner. He sees you as a world overcomer. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith in what? In what God says about you. That God says you are redeemed. God says you are important. You are qualified. You are accepted. You are forgiven. You are chosen. You are a child of the Most High. You are a world overcomer. You are a history maker. You are a giant killer like David was with Goliath. You are destined for greatness because there are seeds of greatness on the inside of you. You know, you think about when you plant a seed into the ground, there's thousands of times of pressure against that seed. But that seed knows to grow. And even though the odds are stacked against that seed buried into the ground, that seed remains determined to become everything God destined it to become. It's not the most gifted, it's not the most talented that win in life, it's those who are the most determined to follow Jesus Christ. The ones that will hear, well done, good and faithful, are the ones that go against the grains of this world, that swim upstream rather than with the rest of the world. They are the ones who will be rewarded. There are garments of salvation and there are robes of righteousness in heaven, and there is a big difference. Garments of salvation you will be given if you've accepted Christ into your life, but a robe of righteousness will be given to you for following Christ here on earth. And there will be great reward for those who have served Jesus here on earth, even though it's not always easy. But it's the greatest gift you can give to this world because you will make this world a better place for following Jesus Christ. The one thing I find in life is that the most important thing that Dr. Seville has imparted into my life is learning to see myself as a winner in life. See myself as a success. The reason most people never rise above the circumstances and situations or rise above the thousands of times of pressure against them is because they don't know who they are. They don't know that there are seeds of greatness on the inside of them. They don't understand that they are world overcomers. They think, who am I? What could I ever do? But learning to see yourself as a success before you become a success is going to be key in life. Seeing yourself as a redeemed is going to be key in living a redeemed life. To see yourself as the righteousness of God will only lead to a righteous life. When you begin to see yourself as a winner before you play in the game of life, you could say, is what will make you a winner on the field and off the field. Amen? It's learning to see yourself as a success, to see yourself the way God sees you. You know, when you think about the 10 spies that came back, Joshua and Caleb, at first, they're like, hey, we believe that God is well able to help us to go into our promised land. He promised us this promised land. He promised us this land flowing with milk and honey. He promised us. But the other 10 said, no way. We're like grasshoppers in their eyes. They're giants. We can't. Did you know that 80% of this world is negative? Statistically, most people think like cynics and critics in life, and they're pessimistic and they're negative. And did you know that that 80% impacted all 2 million plus people in Israel in that generation? And for 40 years, they lived in the wilderness rather than in the promised land because 10 people said, there's no way we can do this, and the majority listened to them. Joshua and Caleb were the two that said, no, we are well able, God is with us. But they didn't listen to Joshua and Caleb, did they? In fact, they wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb for being positive, for seeing things through God's lens and his perspective in life. The world will throw stones with their words and their actions at times, and they will tell you, you can't do it. You can't become everything God has created you to be. You may even have well-meaning people, it might be family members that might say, you can't do that. But God says, yes, you can. And he has equipped us with an I can do it attitude, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are more than conquerors through Christ who loves you. He's given you an I can do it attitude. Even if 80% of the world is saying you can't, there are people in this world that believe enough in your success. There are coaches, there are people, pastors, there are fathers in the faith that speak life into you. And you've got to have a listening ear to the ones that are speaking in tune to the Holy Spirit. The psalmist says, God blesses those who stay in tune to him. In other words, those who are listening to what the Lord is saying, and they're listening and they're speaking on behalf of what the Lord is saying, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And they're echoing what the Holy Spirit is saying, but you have to surround yourself with people like that. There is a gentleman a number of years ago who is speaking at a military campus, Coach Dale. And interesting enough, I think it's a funny story, but Coach Dale Brown of LSU was speaking at a military campus one day, and this great big guy walked up to him, 6'8", 17-inch shoe size. And he's like, whoa, son, how long have you been in the military? And he's like, I'm not in the military. My dad's in the military. I'm only 13 years old. And this coach, he's like, son, you've got to use that as a gift. You were created for such a time as this. I'm going to encourage you. Do something with your body. Go into basketball. Do something great with your life. And ask God to help you. So he tried out for the basketball team, and he got cut. The coach said, you're not coordinated enough. So he was cut. He called Coach Dale Brown up, and he said, Coach, they cut me from the team. And he said, that's okay. It's not where you start in life. It's how you finish. Keep working out. Keep asking God for help. And so he worked harder, and he kept pressing in towards God and his God-given dreams, and eventually he made the basketball team, and he went on to play again he actually ended up playing for Coach Dale Brown one day, and later went on to play in the NBA. His name is Shaquille O'Neal. Sometimes in life, you need to know who those are, the people who believe enough in your success. Because there are going to be times where you feel discouraged and you feel like thrown in the towel, but you've got to surround yourself with people who see and hear and are in tune with the Holy Spirit that are speaking life and encouragement into you, telling you you have the ability to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. When you think about pressing towards that God-given dream, you're pressing towards what God has destined you to do and to become. What is that? In the Greek, when the Apostle Paul writes, I press towards the goal for the prize, The word pressed toward in the Greek actually gives us a picture of someone who's a track runner with their neck extended out and their legs are kind of following behind, but they're doing everything they can to press towards that God-given dream of theirs. What is it that you're pressing towards? Because the world is going to be pushing against you. But you've got to press in, and you've got to surround yourself with the right people. Saying this over and over, as I have taught this congregation for years, to say over and over throughout the day, whenever you want, but to make it a fun jingle if you want, I'm in the right place at the right time with the right people. Brother Jerry, I love his word this year for 2024. He said, it's important, congregation, to say, and he's saying this to the world, and he started preaching this around the world before he departed. He said, it's so important that you say you're going from glory to glory. I think he really meant it. He went from glory to literally the glory of God. And to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful. There are things that you need to do to stay in tune with what the Lord is saying. You've got to be able to look yourself in the mirror and say, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. One of the best things you can do before you even get out of the bed in the morning is say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. You've got to get in tune with God for God to be able to bless you. You've got to be saying what God is saying. You've got to kickstart your engine some mornings. Some mornings you're not going to feel like getting up and being a winner, but God says you are one. You are a world overcomer, so say it. And one of the most important things you can do is believe what God says about you, to get in tune with what God's saying about you, to see yourself as a winner. And Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 reminds us, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. In other words, keep pressing towards your God-given dreams. And make sure you fight the right fight, amen? When you think about David and he came out and he started hearing about the what you would win, basically, if you beat Goliath. If you take Goliath out, what will I get, he says, as he hears it again for the second time. And Eliab says to him, what are you doing? What are you doing? You should be back with those few sheep, taking care of those few sheep. And he looked at him and tried to devalue David. He tried to belittle David. You know what people who belittle other people are? They're being little. You've got to be a giant killer. You've got to see yourself as a history maker. You've got to see yourself as a world overcomer. And David did not play defense in that situation. A great defense is a good offense. Amen? He learned to fight the good fight of faith. He ignored Eliab. And again, he said, what is it that I get? Oh, you're going to get the king's daughter. You're going to be tax exempt. You're going to be really wealthy. A lot of good things are going to happen to you. And he went after the right fight. Too many people are fighting the wrong fight in this world, trying to defend themselves to people who are belittling them and criticizing them and making fun of them. There are going to be people out there that are going to try and push you down, make fun of you, because you don't look like everybody else. I remember when I was in sports in high school and I would have somebody in the gym or something like that working out and they would be in there for the first time and maybe they weren't in very good shape. But you know what? I never looked down at them. I encouraged them. I would encourage them to come back. If they got into a sport and maybe they weren't maybe the most athletic. How many know it's not the most talented, it's not the most gifted that win in life, it's those who are the most determined. It's not where you start, it's how you finish. I have family members that, I remember one specifically, he went on to play football in college, and now he's got a son that's about, he's even bigger than him, and he's going on to play NFL, it looks like now. But here's the interesting thing, we grew up together. And he was like this pudgy little guy growing up with me. And people picked on him, made fun of him. But you know what? He became determined. And he pressed into the weight room. He worked out night and day. And today, nobody makes fun of him. He's not that little guy anymore. He's a great big man. And now his son's about a foot taller than him. This guy is huge. He could take up the whole offensive line. He's big. It's not where we start in life. It's how we finish. You know, I think it's funny because Walt Disney, as a teenager, had an art teacher say he was not creative enough. Or how about Lucille Ball? She was told she has no acting ability. She has no acting skills. And she went on to become known as I Love Lucy, for those who remember that generation. Or how about Winston Churchill, who failed the sixth grade? The teacher said he's too slow, but he went on to be one of the greatest prime ministers who's ever lived. It's not where we start in life, it's how we finish. As long as we keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our life. But again, there's going to be people in moments like someone like Rachel in the Bible who has a son in pain and it was not a good delivery. And she decided that she was going to name him Benaniah, meaning a son of my sorrows. But Jacob said, no, that's not his name. His name will be Benjamin, which means son of strength, son of power, son of my right hand. There's going to be critics out there, but there will also be people who hear the voice of God that are speaking faith into you, who believe enough in your success and can bring help bring out your success. You're never alone, but you do need to make a decision to be in the right place at the right time. So go ahead and say it with me. I am in the right place at the right time with the right people. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward. But here's the key as I kind of start wrapping this up. I want us to think about this. Seeing yourself as a success before you become a success is going to be key in life. Seeing yourself as a winner before you become a winner in life is going to be key. Seeing yourself as healed before you walk out the manifestation of your healing is going to be key in life. To live out a victorious life, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, starts in the mind and moves into the heart. As a man thinks in his heart, that's what he will become or she will become. The one thing I find that is so helpful in my journey is thanking God for the promises before they manifest in life. When I ask the Lord, Lord Jesus, how did you handle the persecution when people were belittling you, making fun of you? How did you handle that? And his response to me was, I focused on the one that was lost. In other words, he did not lose his focus, and he kept fighting that good fight of faith. And then I asked him that question, what did you do when you were on the cross and the pain was excruciating? How did you handle that? And that's when he responded to me and said, I focused on the promises. Those are the moments in life when the pain is excruciating, people are trying to push you down, you've got to focus on the promises of God, which are all yes and amen. And so when you're going through the pains of life, you've got to turn it into a gain by focusing on the Father's promises. You've got to continue to say, my God meets all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, and begin to thank him before the manifestation of it. Because if you continue to thank him for it, your confidence will build, and your confidence comes with great reward. You've got to see yourself healed. You've got to see yourself as a success. You've got to see yourself as a winner, but you've got to start right now today saying, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the promises that are all yes and amen, no matter what it is in life that you may be struggling with. You may be going through an addiction that you've been trying to fight the good fight of faith for a long time, and it seems like it's got a stronghold on you. That's when you start saying, I am free. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. Thank you, Lord, that I am free right now before you'll experience your true freedom in life. Let the weak say, I am strong. You've got to start today by thanking the Father for the promises, focusing on the promises, not the problems. Amen? You've got to see yourself as a winner. Andre Agassi, tennis player, world number one, ended up having surgery and never seemed to be rebounding to get back at that number one position. A life coach came to him one day and asked him this question. He said, Andre, he said, when you were winning in life, how did it feel? He had him close his eyes. And his response was, it was effortless. And he said, good. Keep that picture in your mind and keep visualizing how effortless it is to be number one again. And for several months, he focused on how effortless it felt. He visualized himself seeing himself as number one once again, and he rebounded to become the number one tennis player in the world once again. But you've got to take time to visualize. They say, Interesting enough that people who set goals make $4,000, this is years ago, make $4,000 more a month than those who don't set goals in life. When Yale did the study on those who set goals years ago, there was a class that they specifically followed for many years. Only 2% of them set goals. 98% of them did not. Did you know that those 2% that set the goals did 90% better than all of them combined than those 98% who did not set any goals? What is God saying in His Word? You've got to get the vision before your eyes. You've got to know what He is saying. You've got to know what the Spirit of God is saying, because it comes through that revelation, the Rhema revelation, the vision that God has imparted to you, your God-given dreams. You've got to keep visualizing, seeing yourself walking those God-given dreams out. That's why it's so important to keep that vision before your eyes. Amen? You've got to visualize it. You've got to see it. Again, Jerry Saville's quote, I feel it's appropriate to remind you, something that he once used to say: the most successful people in the world are those who have the ability to perceive what is possible even when it looks impossible. They look beyond the obstacle blocking their success, and they recognize that through perseverance, they will ultimately be victorious. We will always be victorious because the majority is you and God. And there is a church here called High Point Church that's cheering you on. You're never alone. We believe in you. We're cheering you on through our prayers. We're standing in the gap for you. We're praying for you every day. And we believe that you will rise and become everything that God has destined you to become. The scripture reminds us that as long as we do our part, God will always do His part. Amen? In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, God promises us that He will bring you to a flourishing finish. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul writes once again in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus. Going back to the vision, though, the Apostle Paul also writes these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. I run like someone who has a goal. I fight like a boxer who is hitting something, not just the air. In other words, keep pressing towards that God-given dream, what it is that you're going after. Don't lose sight of that. Keep your eyes on the author and finisher of your faith. Keep listening to what He's saying to you, that you have seeds of greatness in you. You are going to become everything that you are destined to become, because He has equipped you with an I can do it attitude. And I believe and I declare over you that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are more than conquerors through Christ who loves you. You are able to do all things that God has given you to do. You are a world overcomer. You are history makers, and you will rise up and become everything that God has destined you to become. If you receive this today, will you say amen? Amen. I'll close with this scripture. Micah 7:8. Micah writes these words. Don't rejoice over me, enemy, even though I may fall. I will get back up. I will rise. Even though the righteous may fall seven times, they get back up eight times. There are going to be times you may feel like you've been pushed down, pressed down, you're buried, planted. But remember, you will reap if you faint not. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, thank you so much. I know the obstacles can't get any bigger, but these people can get bigger. As Sir Edmund Hillary once said, who was the first man to climb Mount Everest. He didn't win. He didn't succeed the first time. He lost people, team members. But he looked at Mount Everest at a picture, and he said, you have defeated me, but I will return. You can't get any bigger, but I can. And Lord, I declare that over your people today. The obstacles and the problems, the adversities and the challenges, Lord, they can't get any bigger, but your people can. And I thank you that it's not where they start in life, it's how they finish. And I believe that these are world overcomers. And I thank you for your blessing upon them, the empowerment to succeed, the favor of God that creates them to be a success, causing them always to flourish and to finish strong. In Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never made the decision to receive Jesus Christ into your life and you're saying, Pastor, I need that forgiveness. I need to make a decision to receive Jesus Christ. Let me take it one step further. Maybe you've accepted Christ in your life, but deep down in your heart, you're not following him the way that you could or should. And you're saying, Pastor, I want to recommit my heart to the Lord Jesus. And today I want that decision to be made. I want to start right there at the foot of the cross. I want to recommit my heart to the Lord Jesus. Or if it's a first-time decision, you need forgiveness of your sins. It would be my honor and my privilege to pray for you. No matter where you're at, the Bible reminds us that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That means no matter what you've done wrong, all that matters right now is what Jesus has done right. So let me ask again, if you need to make that decision to receive Jesus Christ into your heart and to receive forgiveness for your sins, or let me take it one step further, you need to recommit your heart to the Lord Jesus. Today would be my honor and my privilege to pray for you. If that's you, would you slip up your hands all over this auditorium just acknowledging I want to make that quality choice and that decision. Hands are going up. Any others who are saying, Pastor, pray for me too. Okay, excellent. Let's do this. Let's put a hand on our heart. Those that are joining us online, we want to encourage you to pray this prayer out loud with us. Those that are making that quality choice here, those that are making quality choices watching online today, we believe that God is going to do a miracle in your life. Let's call on the name of the Lord together. Would you pray this with me? Heavenly Father, forgive me of all my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you as my Lord, my Savior, and my best friend. Thank you for dying on the cross for all of my sins. Holy Spirit, fill me with your presence. Take my life and do something with it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a big hand clap? Let him know how much you love him, appreciate him.